Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I'm Pastor Rave. I'm Pastor Dave. It's great to be in church this morning. Church. What is church? It's an interesting thing, you know. Welcome to church. I'm in church. I'm at church. I'm with church. What's the right pronoun? I am church? Yeah. It's an interesting word because we have a different picture of what church is. And if I was to walk down the main street of Stanthorpe and ask, oh, where's the church? People would point to probably St. Joseph's or the Anglican Church. And some of the more wise people would point here. But people would refer to the church as a building. But then we say, well, we're going to church, and that often means a service, a Sunday service. So when we say church, we're referring to a Sunday morning. But when we say church, what's God referred to the church to be? What should the church be to who we are as a people? When we look at that, I try to understand what God is saying about the church, then we could probably have a very different picture to what we have today of the word church. And that's okay, because the world when Jesus was walking was a very different world to what the world is today. So the question is what is the church? I want to read from 1 Peter. And 1 Peter talks to the leaders of the church, and it talks to the leaders about what their role is. So I'm going to read to that. It's 1 Peter 5:2 if you want to follow along. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So when we look at the role of the leaders of the church, what's their role? Their role is to love people, to care for people, to be examples to people, to be of integrity, to be honest, and to be examples. So if we look at the role of a leader of a church, that's what the role is. So when you look at the church's leader's role is to care for the people, to love the people, to have integrity. And their role is to be an example to others. So all of us are to look at the elders and judge them. No, that's not where I was going. To look at the leaders and see their example of loving and caring for people, of people of integrity. And so if the role of the leaders of the church is to be this kind of people, therefore the church are filled with people and the people are the church. The surprising thing is that nowhere there does it talk about make sure that the walls are painted a nice shade of white, off-white, not too bright. There's nowhere there about making the gardens nice. There's nowhere there about making sure you dress properly, whatever that means. Or have a good haircut. Let's not go there. Too expensive. Just a waste of money, hairdressers. No hairdressers here. Anyway, the role of the leader of the church is to care for people. Therefore, the role of the church is to be people. So when we refer to the church, what we're really referring to is you and me and us. We are the church. So we need to understand that when we talk about the church, we are the church. So what does that mean as far as us goes or who we are? Because our role as people within the church must reflect what the church actually is. I want to tell you a story. It's probably from some of your childhoods, maybe not, about a guy named Charlie Brown. Remember Charlie Brown? There's one little scene, I don't know if you remember, it's got Linus, and he's watching TV. And as he's watching TV and he's enjoying it, Lucy comes in and says, I want to watch a different channel, change the channel. He says, no, I'm watching this, I don't want to. Well, how are you going to make me? And Lucy says, see these five fingers? Individually, they're nothing. But when they come together like this in a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. And Linus says, which channel would you like? And then he turns to his own hand and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? What would happen if all of us got organized like that? Not like that, but what if we all got organized? What if we as the church came together to love on each other, to care for each other, to encourage and empower each other, and to serve God together? What could we achieve? What could the kingdom of God be if we came together? What could the kingdom of God be if we as the Baptist Church with the Vineyard and with the Anglican Church and the United, if we all came together like this, what could become of us? What would the church be if we reflected the body of Christ? If we reflected who we are meant to be in Christ? I don't know about you, but I grew up with Legos. Do I hear an amen? Okay. I think Legos are amazing. I have moved on. I do welding now. Legos on their own, the little red one, what is one Lego useful for? Security system. You put it in the hallway and walk down the hallway and you wake up, it's a weapon. No. One Lego is not meant to be on its own. Legos are meant to create something. Legos are meant to come together and to become something. Legos now, when I was younger, it was just the beginning of technical Lego. They were so cool. But technical Lego meant there were all these new Lego bits. And now I watch Lego Masters, one of the better shows on TV. And thanks, Hamish. But watch Lego Masters and you see what they create, but also the amazing different individual Lego blocks, colours, shapes. It's amazing what they create. And when all of these Lego pieces come together with one creator, it's an amazing thing that's built. And we are like Lego bricks, not just the red square 4x2, which some are perhaps, but the individual blocks coming together like Lego is like us within the church. Each and every one of us is unique and special and created for something different. And on our own, we're just a random piece of Lego that's good for security. But when we come together, a creation that's made is just amazing to behold. Because we are people who are made uniquely special by our Creator. And I love that. I love that you guys don't look like me. Quite thankful, actually. But I'm glad and I'm just so excited that we are all different. We come from different backgrounds, we come from different nationalities, we come from different languages, we come from different ways of thinking, of acting, of behaving, different ways of serving. We understand the world differently because as we come together, we understand more of who God is. How much value is it that we are all different, each and every one of us reflecting God because of the vast uncontainableness of who God is? And the way that we think differently comes together to understand more of who God is. We're individual, and with our individuality, we have different gifts and skills that God gives us so that together we can do what the Creator is calling us to do. We are all absolutely unique, just like everybody else. We are each unique. I talked to someone the other day saying, I am just so glad that I'm average. Because average means that I am so unique as we are all unique. And that is powerful. Because I'm up the front here and I have a role. And Margie was leading worship and she has a role. And Graham has a role. And Jamie and Bill have a role. We all have a role. But that does not mean that I'm more important than you or anybody else. because we have a role, because God has created us with a unique role, a uniqueness and unique skills and gifts that come together to create something absolutely beautiful. We are unique like everybody else, but we're also an individual member of the body of Christ. It's our uniqueness that comes together that creates the body of Christ, the uniqueness that makes us special. There's a story about a little girl, and she comes home from school and she's in tears and she's all upset. And she talks to her grandpa and says, "Grandpa, it's not fair because they're having the school musical and we all auditioned and I didn't get a part and it's not fair. And they just want me to help behind the scenes, but I want to be up the front, and it's not fair." And she's in tears. And Grandpa Carson says, "Come and have a look at this, bub." And she goes around the corner and there's the grandfather clock. And looks at the grandfather clock and he says, "What do you see?" She says, "I see the hands and the numbers and I see..." He says, "Yeah, have a look at this." And he pulls out the grandfather clock and opens the back. Have you seen the back of a clock? And there's wheels and gears and everything turning. And he says, "What happens if one of these little gears isn't there?" He says, "Well, nothing happens. The clock doesn't work." We all have a role to play. We all have a part, a piece of what God's doing here. Like the clock, we have a place to be. And this little girl realized that she had a part to play, even if it wasn't the lead character. We come together. The last couple of years I've been writing seminars for school kids, and one of the ones is based on self-esteem. And one of the self-esteem definitions said self-esteem equals belonging plus uniqueness. How amazing that we are unique in the body of Christ and that we belong as a part of the body. Where does our self-esteem come from? Where does our identity come from? It comes from who we are in God. But not just that, but who we are in the body of Christ. Our identity, who we are, our understanding, our personhood comes from an understanding of, I'm not a person walking down the street that met Jesus once. But our identity, who we are, comes from who God is, what God has done in my life, and who I am in the body of Christ, in His people. You, we, I have a gift for the body of Christ. So often we look at it and say, well, where do I fit? But the other question is, how is the church operating and working when you're not there? We each have a gift. God creates this gift. God creates the body of Christ so that I have a place, you have a place, we have a place, and that we as a church can't function fully if we're missing a bit, a part, a gift, a you. So often we look at it from my perspective, but when we take a step back and look at it from God's perspective, that God's creating something that's absolutely amazing, something that's going to transform this town, this region, this state, this world. And if we as Christians aren't stepping up to where God's created us to be, then how can God create what He is planning to do? Now, having said that, God can do what He likes. God can overrule that. Don't take that the wrong way. But God has created each of us to be a part of what He's doing here. And often, if I'm not in that part, being willing to step up and to be a part of the body of Christ, then it's like a disability to us as a body. God's calling us to be a part of who He is and what He's doing because we are the church. What's your role? Where do you fit? 1 Corinthians 13 says, "If I speak in the tongues of the men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I might boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And now these things, three things remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The Corinthian church was going through a time where they're exploring the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and God was giving the gifts of the Spirit to the people, and they're all celebrating that, but they all wanted the best gifts. They all wanted the showy gifts, and they all wanted to stand up and say, look, the gift that God has for me. And there was a competition about who had the best gift and the biggest gift, who could stand up and speak the loudest or speak the longest, who could prophesy the most, who... And Paul just said, you're missing the point. The spiritual gifts are not there for your glory, comma, buddy. The spiritual gifts are there to build up the body of Christ. And not everyone has the gifts that seem to be better or flashier or showier. There are people with the gifts of caring for people that will never stand up here, and that's great. There are people who will mow the lawns and sweep, and that's their gift of serving, and we may never know because they're not advertising it, and that's a gift. There's people who will serve in the office, who will serve in the craft group, who will care and love for people, who will walk down the street and make friends really easily. There are people with gifts that we will never, ever, ever see, but God does see that because God put that into people's lives. And those gifts all together create the body of Christ. If everybody in this room had the same gift as me, there'd be a little bit of competition, and I would probably lose. But that's not the point. We're not here to compete. We're not here to say, I want. We're here to love each other, to celebrate each other, to celebrate the differences and the uniqueness in each other, and to be able to see the kingdom of God come to us. There's a story in a Romanian village a long, long time ago, and the wealthy landowner wanted to give a gift to the town, and he pondered and pondered and pondered what he could give, and he decided to build a church. So he built this church, and none of the villagers were allowed to come in and have a look or to have any say, because that's how they rolled. So he built this church, and when it was finished, he invited everyone in, and all the people came in, and they came in, and they came into this church. It was unbelievably beautiful, incredibly dark. And they said, it's very dark in here. Why is that? And he came out and he handed a lantern to each of the families. And he said, if you notice on the wall, there's a little cutout in the wall for your lantern to go on. Each time you come to church, being the Sunday service, by the way, each time you come to church, light your lantern and bring it and put it on the wall. And that way, in a way, we know who's not here, because in that section it's dark. And what he was saying is that we each have something to bring. We bring our gifts, we bring our personality, we bring our character, we bring our light. We bring that element of God that is uniquely what he's doing in us. And we light the church and we light the fellowship and the connection of the community together with God's given us. We each have a candle, a lantern, to bring light to the family. I saw this picture and I just absolutely loved it. I thought it was so amazing, because we believe that our life in Christ is us alone, our individual. We can do this. We can do this God stuff. I don't know if you've ever tried to pump a car tire up with a pump. It's not a good day or a good week. And I saw this and thought, this guy, he's not going to have a good day. But in a way, that's what we are when we individually believe that I can live my Christ life for Christ alone. I am strong in Christ. It's not who we are designed to be. We're designed to be a part of a family, a part of our community. We're designed to be one in the same. But our community talks about how important we as an individual are, who I am, what I do, and we push that as a community, as a society, but really, in a way, that's all we're doing. There's a story that I heard about a group of people that had come together, and they were harvesters. And so they came together each Sunday, and they discussed harvesting, they discussed their crops. They got together and talked the latest on farming, the latest on equipment. They serviced their machines. They got everything ready. They got together on a Sunday morning, and that was really important to them. And then they come together on a Sunday night and they talk about different ways of farming and the latest technologies and how they could do all their farming stuff better. They talked about their machines. And then they came together on a Wednesday, and a Wednesday afternoon, a Wednesday night, and they talked about it more and discussed how they could do farming better and how they could connect with their crops and all this. But they never actually got out and did any harvesting. You see where I'm going? We as the church can become so introspective that we get together and have all of our Bible studies and our church services and prayer groups, and that's good. I'm not belittling that. But the point of being a farmer is to harvest. The point of us as a church to do is what God is calling us to do. And God is calling us as a church to reach our community. That's the purpose of who we are. That's what the church is. The church is a group of people who come together as the fellowship of Christ, as the body of Christ, come together to love and encourage and empower and to bring the Spirit of God to the community that we're a part of. And if we're stuck in this shed talking about it and not actually doing it, then what's the point of it? We're called to be God's people. We're called to be transforming the community that God's planned us into. We're not here by mistake. We're not here by accident. Being in this building, being in this town is not random, but we are all here for a purpose. For Janelle and me, it's really obvious because you called us as pastors. But each and every one of us are here for a purpose. To transform this community, to be a part of the body of Christ. That's who we are. That's what our call is. That's what our job is. So we care for each other. We love, encourage, empower each other. That's really, really important. That's critical to who we are as a people because that's what we need. But if we get stuck in this building and we're never out there in our community, then are we really doing what God's calling us to do? Are we really doing what Jesus did? When I was a kid, I played tag. You play tag? Tag was a great game when you're a kid. And then as you got a bit older, you played hospital tag. Tennis ball. Wherever you get hit with the tennis ball, you got to hold. And as you mature, you get a wet tennis ball. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. We played tag. And when you were it, you were it. And it was your turn to chase. And I want to just put it out there that in a sense of Christianity, I'm tagged. I want to put it out there that each of us are tagged. You're tagged. You're it. And you can't just sit there and go, I'm it, I'm it, I'm tagged, I'm it. But your role is to tag someone else. We are all tagged. We are all tagged by Jesus to go and chase someone else. That's our role. That's our purpose as a person and as a community. We are tagged to pursue the community in the name of Jesus. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others as they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are tagged. Jesus has tagged us and we are called to go out and tag others. God is the one who places on us a call, a purpose. So often we go to a church and we say, what's this church got for me? It's the wrong question. The question is, how can I serve God in this church? We ask the wrong question because that's what's taught with us. That's what's expected of us. We're not here to sit and warm a chair. We're here to do God's willing, to do God's bidding, to be the body of Christ. as what he's called us to do. And I want to leave with a scripture that is a challenge to me, and I hope it's a challenge to you. In Matthew 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, and that's a cool thing. What do you want to be? Who wants to be a disciple? Yeah, you want to be a disciple? Go to Bible college. You want to be a disciple? Pray more. You want to be a disciple? Get to know. There's so many things that I would have put there. You want to be my disciple? Jesus says, deny yourself and take on your cross and follow me. I was hoping for something easier. I was hoping for a little bit more fun and joyful. I was hoping for something a little more praiseworthy for myself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross, follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. How does that ring for you? That's hard. But that's the underlying foundation for who we are as a people. If my first words are, what do I get out of it? If my first words are, how do I feel about it? If my first words are, how do I profit from it? Or how do I get glory from it? Then I think we've missed the point of what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Deny ourselves. Does that mean we don't think of our health? No. Does that mean we don't seek to be the best person we can be? No. Does that mean we don't look after our mental health or our energy? No. But what it does mean is, am I asking the question of what God wants, who God is, and who God wants me to be? Are we willing to deny ourselves, to sacrifice, to give to God? It's not something our society or our community value, sacrifice, but it is the foundational understanding of who we are as a people in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you don't do accidents. You don't do mistakes. But Father, you have a purpose, a call, and an understanding. We are here because you are a great and mighty God. We are here because you're a God of grace, mercy, and love. We are here because you've forgiven us, you've led us, you've guided us, you give us hope, you give us a future. We're here because you give us gifts and skills and absolute uniqueness. And we're here because you have a purpose for us as people and as a people. Father, thank you that you have an amazing purpose for me and us. Father, thank you that you have an amazing purpose for this church, for the Church of Stanthorpe, the Church of Queensland, the Church of Australia. And Father, thank you that we as Christians join together with the millions of Christians around this world to transform the world that you've put us in. Father, thank you that you don't forget us, neglect us. Father, thank you that you are our God and we are your people. And Father, help us to find that place where we fit so that we can help to build your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.